Fourth week of Easter is Good Shepherd Sunday for all three of our years. Different perspectives from Matthew and Luke and John, but still, it's the Good Shepherd Sunday. It's also Vocation Sunday. So this gives us a very clear identity that vocations and the Good Shepherd are very intricately related to each other. When I was in seminary, I had a fellow student who would speak of his experience, and he gave a new insight into what a shepherd was. He had this romantic notion of what a cowboy was. And so before seminary, he hired on out west to a ranch, and he went out there one summer, and his job was to ride the range. And it was a very lonely job. He might not see another human being for weeks on end, long hours, sometimes dangerous. There were still bears and mountain lions, wolves, other animals that would attack the herd, and he could even be in danger himself. And although he never came face to face with any of these, he saw the signs that they were around, and he made a decision that if he came face to face to them, he was going to run. It wouldn't be worth it to put his life in danger to save a dumb, stupid little calf. To save an old cow. Who would do that? Christ would do that. But he did the best that he could. And he learned an important lesson. He finished up his year and he learned that despite this romantic notion of what a good shepherd would be, this romantic notion of what a cowboy is, he knew that at heart he would never be a cowboy. Makes me wonder sometimes what Peter thought of himself. You know, here he was a fisherman. That's what he knew, and he was good at it. And here Jesus comes and he's going to make you a fisher of men. What the heck is that? Peter wouldn't, did he know what he was getting into? He was very spontaneous. He would put his foot in his mouth without speaking or without thinking. He would be full of bravado one moment. Lord, I will never deny you. Even if I die for you or with you. And only a few hours later, he's denying him three times. He falls asleep on him in the garden. He abandons him when he needs him the most. He doesn't believe the women when they come to him and tell him of the resurrection. Again and again. But this isn't pick on Peter day. Because if this was, it'd be pick on me day. For every one of us, we all fall short. This is the Good Shepherd Sunday. And so we see what happens when we conform our lives, when we unite ourselves to the Good Shepherd. Filled with the Holy Spirit, we find Peter today in front of this crowd proclaiming the risen Christ, standing there with a man that he had healed, but not through his own power, but through the power of Christ. The one that they had condemned, the one that they had crucified, the one that God had risen up. He is the way of salvation. The way of salvation for Peter, the way of salvation for those that he was proclaiming this to, and the way of salvation for each and every one of us who hear this message. Peter himself was challenged, and he challenges the crowd with him, and he challenges us to a conversion of heart. The chief disciple, who knew Christ's mercy in a very special way, desires nothing more than to be an instrument of that mercy into the lives of others. Pointing to the crowd to Christ. Pointing the crowd to the Good Shepherd. Something that is really kind of strange if you think about it, that Christ would aspire to be a good shepherd. Because in his time, more often than not, shepherds were not an esteemed class of people. They were the outcasts. They were the ones that were thieves or robbers. No one wanted to be associated with them. They did have a rich history in the Israelite nation. Abraham, Moses, David, again and again, prominent figures were a shepherd at one point or another in their lives. So in our gospel, Jesus warns us of the dishonest shepherds, those who would use their positions just for selfish purposes, to get rich, to increase their society position, to get a position of authority over others. But then there are those that would also run away at the first sign of trouble, abandoning their flock. But Christ comes and tells us he is the good shepherd, one who cares for his flock, one who knows his flock, and whose flock know his voice. He is the one who will sacrifice everything for them, who continues to offer everything he has for us, especially in the sacraments and in the Eucharist. One who's committed to his flock, a good shepherd is there in the rain and in the snow, in the cold and the heat, day after day, year after year. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And his life is dedicated to his people. A good shepherd is courageous. He has to be ready to face the wild animals that might attack. He has to be ready to face thieves or robbers or even Satan himself. He has to be ready to go after the one who wanders off. And when we wander away from him, when we leave his church, when we turn away, it is us that have turned. And Christ is there, calling to us, inviting us, reaching out to us. No matter how dangerous of a path we have taken, no matter how far we might have gone away, he is there, seeking us, wanting to bring us home. Christ is the Good Shepherd. And we are called to be workers in his image. And we do this first and foremost through our vocation. And whatever our vocation may be, for the far and by and away, the most part, it's to married life. But there's also vocations to a dedicated single life. Vocations to the priesthood, to the diaconate, to religious life, to consecrated life. Not just finding ourselves where the world might put us, but finding ourselves where God desires us to be, where he is calling us. It is said that there is a shortage of vocation these days, but I'm not sure if it's a shortage of vocations or if it's just ears are plugged out. We don't hear that call, that invitation. We don't give him the time that we need. We have to realize where vocations come from. They are nurtured within a family, born in faith, encouraged within the church. St. John Paul II tells us that the family is the domestic church, and it is under attack. Pope Benedict, I guess you have to die first, right, to be a saint? So Pope Benedict XVI, when he was in Madrid at World Youth Day in 2011, writes, "May no adversity paralyze you. Be not afraid of the world, nor of your weakness. The Lord has allowed you to live at this moment of history for a reason, so that by your faith, he will be known in the world." We need God's help. We need his help to find our true vocation. We need his help to be faithful to that vocation in society and in the church, to follow God with courage and generosity wherever the road may lead, and to develop that relationship that allows us to hear his voice, to persevere in that relationship by receiving faithfully in those sacraments that he gives us. We need that frequent contact. That is really what St. Teresa of Jesus tells us that prayer is. Friendly contact. Spending time alone with the one that we know who loves us. Bring him your questions. Bring him your doubts, your struggles, your joys, your friendship. Listen to him. Follow him. He is the Good Shepherd, and he will bring us through this trial into eternity.